lately, I've been getting a lot of these people been texting me scriptures. You know, I don't mind. But we can't live out of the Old Testament. As Christ is kept, we can't live out of the Gospels. We can use the word to align it with the epistles, which gives it more strength and more power. I noticed something while I was reading that I have never paid attention to before. You know, Paul wrote the epistles. And I know we always use his name, and you know, and everybody says, well, why you talk about Paul? It's about Jesus. Well, Paul talked about Jesus. So, and I found something that blew me away. I've said it before, but I never really paid any attention to it. He said, my gospel. Anybody pay any attention to that? He said, it's my gospel. He didn't say it was anybody else's. He didn't say it was God's. He said, it's my gospel. Look at Galatians. Please turn your phones off. Just look at Galatians 1 and 11. I'm going to take you to a few scriptures before we really get started. Need to point some, you know, build some things up so you can get a clearer understanding of why I'm saying this. In Galatians 1, we'll start with 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation there means the unveiling. It means the unveiling. So Jesus unveiled something to him when he saw him on the road to Damascus that none of the other disciples received. Go to Romans 2 and 16. I'm trying to establish something right now, and then we will get started. 2 and 16, Romans. Amen. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to, what does it say?
My
gospel. That's kind of rich. Then he said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets, when he's talking about secrets, talking about the things of the heart, that's what's hidden in your heart, like Jesus searches the secrets of your heart. Paul is saying, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Wow. He said, it's going to be my gospel that you'll be judged by. So what is he saying that we're going to be judged by? Romans through 2 Thessalonians, through the epistles. We're going to be judged by the epistles or by every book that he wrote. So it's important that we understand this because we're trying to live by the Old Testament. We're out of the Old Testament. You know, we done fixed ourselves up to live out of the Gospels. You know, and we know Jesus didn't come for us. He came for the Jew. But he sent somebody to us. He sent somebody with his own gospel, different from that of the 12. We're already in Romans. Go to Romans the 16th chapter. I know y'all saying, I ain't never seen Pastor use this many scriptures. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to what?
My gospel.
And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What is he saying? He said, even though it's my gospel, it came from the everlasting gospel. How many of you know what the everlasting gospel is? The everlasting gospel is the Old Testament. But don't get it twisted. It's also the book of Revelations. They are both the everlasting gospels. So it's important. He's letting us know that it's my gospel, but it came from God. Because we know every word that proceeded out of mouth is God's word. So this mystery that's been kept secret, now it's being made known because of my gospel. Lord have mercy. Peter and the 12 were apostles to the what? To the circumcision. The Jews. That's what they believed in. Paul was an apostle to the uncircumcision. Or the Gentiles. Or to the nations. Which is what? Us. So why are we reading the epistles? Why are we studying the epistles to show ourselves approved? Because they teach you how to talk, they teach you how to walk, they teach you how to love, they teach you how to have peace, they teach you how to walk in joy. It teaches you everything that you need to know. But we got our minds made up, we're going to do something else. And see, another thing we fail to realize, Paul preached a different gospel than the 12. He didn't preach the gospel of Peter then, because he couldn't. He could only preach the gospel that Jesus gave him. That's why he was able to call it his gospel, my gospel. Peter and them couldn't say that. They could only say the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's my gospel. God gave it to me directly. And it's to help us get through everything that we're dealing with. Because, see, there's so much ravage and hatred and violence and vengeance going on in the world today. There's got to be some type of separation. We are that separation. Now, we can't go out and win the world, but if we can touch one life, you don't know what that one life could be. You know, it's kind of funny, it's ironic, the fact that we are like the Roro. We are. You know what I'm talking about, coronavirus. We are like that. We're supposed to be. Because what we have, we're supposed to spread. But if we keep it to ourselves, or we're not in the right books, we don't have anything to give. Because the reason you don't have anything to give, because you're not living according to this book. We need to begin to understand what the love of God truly is. We are in the last days. There's no complaining. There's no jumping around about that. We are there. This is the end time where it will say there will be perilous times. So, why be moved? Folks all upset. Why be moved? We are in, these are perilous times and we are in the end time. You can almost expect anything to happen. But I got news for you. If you're covered by the blood because of the word of God that's in your life, then you can keep it moving. You can keep on pressing. You can keep searching. Like Brother McKeon says, you got to keep holding on and looking up. you got to know what you're looking to. You can just look at the sky and call yourself looking up, and you ain't going to get nothing. You might walk up under a pigeon. But you're looking up is to know who you're looking to and where your help is coming from. In Romans, the 12th chapter, he was so serious about these scriptures. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Your bodies a living sacrifice. That's where we're having the problem. We don't want to sacrifice nothing that's going to cost us something. Sometimes it costs you to keep your mouth shut when you want to blow off at something.
Yes, yes.
Amen. He said, I implore you, according, brethren, by the mercies or the compassion, the pity, or the sympathy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, we know that the word God translated in the Greek means theos. And we know that theos means that divinely implanted principle, which is the spirit of the living God, living and flowing out from us. So it's important that we understand that we have this in us, that we can do this. He wants us not to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the world's stuff. And we are in it. We placed ourselves right in it. So here we are, living sacrifices, holy, hagios, or it means blameless. Can't nobody blame you for nothing, can they? Let alone God. I know what I'm talking about. I've been blamed by God for a lot of things. But in the process of blaming, he also let me know that I was forgiven. We are in a battle to show forth the nature and the character of a king. That king is Jesus. That's why he sent Paul to us, to give us a gospel that will strengthen, fortify, uplift, encourage us so that we can hold fast to our profession of faith. He also tells us, be strong as a soldier, as a good soldier, not just a regular soldier. Every soldier ain't good. But he said a good soldier. So therefore, under God or through God, is your what? Reasonable service. Well, the word reasonable is translated something that we don't do a lot of, rational. Amen. And logic. See, when you practice rational, that means you think things out before you act. Yeah. All right. Folks are not thinking things out before they act. It's incredible. And the word service means worship. And then it says, and be not conformed, meaning to be changed or transformed or transfigured to this what? To this world. It's talking about this world's ideology. We can't get caught up in that. You say, well, how are you going to get caught up in it? You in it? Of course you're in it. The Bible tells you we're in the world, but we're not of it. So why be a part of it?
Right.
Well, I got to eat. Yeah, we got to have all that stuff. Amen. God provides and meets all of our needs according to his glory, which is in himself.
Yeah.
He does that. But it's important that we begin to stand out as the children or the body of Christ. So that folks will recognize you not by what you say, but by who you are and what you represent. It's time for us to step up and step out. Let folks know that we're more than just Christians. We're born again believers. Amen. We're the body of Christ. Amen. He said, conform to this world, but be what? Transformed. You got to be changed. There's only one way change is coming in your life to take you closer to Jesus, and that's this word. Amen. Not any word. You can't just read any word. We got to a place we'll read any word. Because it sounds good. We don't want to read nothing that's going to feel like it's going to stab us in the heart. The Bible says the word of God is like a two-edged sword, though. It cuts asunder. It's cutting back. It's cutting going. It's cutting coming back. What it means by that is it's allowing you to see the error of your ways. It hurts sometimes when you see the error of your ways. I know. I said, I screwed up that time. Just help me get through it, Jesus. But you got to be changed by the what? Renewing. That means your mind has got to change. You can't keep thinking the way you were thinking. And the word renew, I like this quotation. I like the breakdown in the Greek of this. It means renovation. You know what you do when you renovate, right, Greg? You go in, you tear up something, and you rebuild it. So that means you got to tear yourself down and rebuild yourself. And that's in your mind. That's why I said, let this mind be in you which thoughts were in Christ Jesus. Because you got to change. What kind of mind was in Christ? It was the mind, the thoughts, the ideas of the Father. That's why he said, whenever you see me, you're going to see my Father. And when you see my Father, you're going to see me. Because his nature, his character is who I am. I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm not trying to be an apostle or whatever, a teacher or a pastor. I'm trying to live according to this word. And it's not easy. I guarantee you that it's not easy. Because I tell you this all the time, living according to this word, it will cost you something. By the renewing of your mind or your thoughts or your ideas, that you may prove what is that? What? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect means mature, and will means desire of God. That's up to us. We've got to prove what it is. That means when folks hate, you got to love. That means when folks accuse you, you got to go about your business. That means you don't argue with somebody because it takes two people to argue. It's a lot of things we have to do that are reasonable, that are rational. But we have to think it through. Sometimes things happen, a scripture pop up in my head. And that's God telling me, you know, you just made the wrong turn there, bro. You need to try to back up and go the other way. Because you know what we don't want to miss? We do not want to miss our visitation with God. I don't want to miss my visitation. Come too far, put up with too much, been hurt too many times, sick too many times, to miss out on what God has promised me. Right. Folks say, well, I'm saved, I'm always saved. Keep on believing that. You may know it, but if you ain't living for it, you ain't saved. Lord Jesus, help me appear. But he said, for I say, through the what? Grace. Grace is something else. What we going to do when it runs out? Grace ain't never going to run out. Oh, yeah, it is. The dispensation. conditions are going to change. We are living in the dispensation of grace right now, and it's not going to always be here. Right. Folks say, well, I got a long time in the world. Okay. Amen. I'm ready for Jesus to come back. I had a lady who used to always say, I'm ready to see Jesus. I said, no, you're not. You better search your heart. Have you been totally transformed? Have you been renewed in your mind? Have you matured to do the desire of God? For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly. The reason I'm talking like this is because I want you to understand that this gospel is for us. The epistles are what we are to live our lives according to. Now, you can go back to read the Gospels, but I guarantee you, if you read the Gospel and knowing what's happening in the epistles, you will see the Gospel, you'll see Mark, Luke, and John in the epistles. If you go into the Old Testament, you go to Leviticus, I guarantee you, if you know what's being said in the epistles, you will see the epistles in Leviticus. Because Jesus is in every book. Not just the Gospels, but he's in every book. And he's in every one of us that want to do the will and desire of God. Sometimes I sit back and I say to myself, Pastor Keith, man, this ain't easy at all. You know, sometimes I say to myself, I feel like going over there and knocking my neighbor's block off.
Why?
I'm being serious with you.
Why?
But then God say, well, go right ahead. I guarantee you lose some of me. Then you're going to have to try to get back. So it's best that you just clear your mind. If you got to go someplace and pray or meditate, clear your mind. And God's been teaching me. Because I have a problem very protective over what is mine. So, we've got to be mature in these things, and we've got to understand that it's the grace of God, and we can't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That means don't think you're somebody big or somebody that you're not. This one's going to come back. We got a lot of apostles that ain't apostles. A lot of pastors that aren't pastors. It's just something that they felt like doing. If they knew like I knew, I could have been working at Ford, Paul. Or Chrysler. That would have been a whole lot easier than doing what I'm doing now. That's why Pastor Hart, he gave me a test. He says, call me in his office. He was always calling me in his office. Call me in his office. He said, have a seat there. Okay. I said, what did I do this time? He said, I got a proposition for you. I said, what's that? I got a friend that's in the UAW at Chrysler. They can get you in tomorrow. Or you can stay here and do this. Well, that sure sounds good because they're making some good money. And we wouldn't make nothing. You know, so I'm thinking about that thing. I'm thinking. I said, look, give me a couple days, Pastor. I said, okay, you only got till tomorrow, son. I said, man. You know? And then I remember what Reverend Howard Brown told me one day on the platform. He says, always remember this verse. Your gift got him fired too. He says, "You are going to be the pastor of this church." I said, "Man, you lost your mind." I said, "They're going to get you for saying that." They got it. He was out of here that week, I think. Yeah, he was out of here. And I caught HE double hockey sticks for about 2 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I sat down, didn't get to preach, nothing. But I did not care. So I told Pastor, I said, "No, give that job to somebody else." He said, "You sure?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I believe God got something for me here. And the only way I can get what he got for me here is to stay here, which is my reasonable, my rational worship for God." So we just kept going through. But you have to believe and you have to trust God. You have to know that whatever God has promised you is for you.
Amen.
It's not for nobody else. It's for you.
Amen.
So we're not going to be conformed to the world system or things, but contrarywise, we're going to be conformed to what the scripture says. The best of the ability that God has placed within us, because ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. We're fighting, we're battling, we're troubled on every side.
Yeah.
We're struggling. My wife always said, "The struggle is real." If you don't think so, you better ask somebody. But guess what? We struggle right through it. I tell the story about the time I tried to cut through here with all the lights out. The exit lights are out too. So I just knew my way around here. I ran right into that pole. I wanted to tear it out through ceiling. But then I heard a little voice say, "Did nobody tell you to walk through here with the lights out? You know you can't see in darkness." Anybody hear that?
Yeah.
You can't see God in darkness. That's why we have to be transformed. That's why we have to be renewed. And we have to remember who we are and the standard that God has set for us, so that we don't think that we're better and greater than anybody else, but to think soberly. The word soberly means to maturely. According as God hath done what? Dealt to every man the measure of faith. What is he saying? You have to prove and test oneself. You have to test yourself. Long as you test yourself, ain't nobody else can test you. Because you done already figured out the problems you got.
Right.
So it don't matter what anybody else tell you, especially if they're not coming to you in good faith.
Right.
How you gonna call me a heathen and you one? How you gonna tell me how to live for God? And you ain't even trying.
Yeah.
I might fall every day, but I'm gonna get back up and I'm gonna dust myself off and I'm gonna press my way right on back into what God gave me. And that's what we're supposed to do. And we have to understand that. God has given us a measure of faith. What has he done? He's placed a little bit of himself in everybody. He had to in order to keep us. Because Adam did more than just plant a little bit. He planted his whole self in you. His whole self. And he wants to go any way other way than with God. I keep telling people, somebody said something to me yesterday about something about the devil, you know, principle of the devil, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, we ain't got time to be worried about that fool.
That's right.
We have to be worried about ourselves. We can no longer use that escape sentence. The devil made me do it. because he did it. My God, you did it because you liked it.
Right.
Okay. I'm about to close. Amen. But we're running this race. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same what? Office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every member is one of the other. Why is it saying that? It's saying that the back up, verse 3, where it says, don't think himself more highly than he ought to think. Remember where your standings are in God and work your way up from that. Boy, I learned a lot here. There was treacherous back some time ago. Folks stepping on folks, trying to get a little higher. And I tell you, you ain't got to step on me here. Because I know what you got coming. Help yourself. Now that's what those pastors do. They'll tell you in a minute, help yourself. Or they'll sit up here and blame one of the other ones. He's supposed to. Why? That's knowing who you are in God and pressing your way in. God's doing a great work in the earth. People don't see it because all they can see is what they see in front of them. God's working. Look at you. He kept you. You're still here. And most importantly, you're still in your right mind. People are crazy. They don't think nothing about you. And if they don't think nothing about you, they sure don't think nothing about themselves. I heard some gunshots last night. You know, they were setting off firecrackers and them big thing, half a sticks of dynamite. But you know what? I can still tell the difference in the gunshots because of the sequence of the shots. And you sit there and you wait to hear if the police is coming. But before you can hear them get there, you hear another clip in here. So you have to say to yourself, how close am I to that? And then you have to remind yourself, it don't matter, because what God has for me is for me.
Amen.
You know, folks don't care about this coronavirus. They say, well, we got to die anyway. Well, you want to die early, you go right ahead. Why? Because folks are not using common sense. You're not just protecting you. You're protecting your brother, your mother, your grandfather. You're protecting somebody. I got to the place. I was in the store yesterday. Somebody was just I said, oh, where they at? I'm trying to find out what aisle they in, so I don't go down that aisle.
Oh, God.
You say, you ain't supposed to be fearful. I ain't fearful. That's common sense. Common sense tell you if you got, whoever was got the virus, it's going to still be there when you get there. Waiting on you. But that just goes to show you people are not practicing Christ or Jesus. And most of the world are Christians. They say they're Christians. But they're not using this to fortify the walls of their house. So I got news for you. Jesus is looking for somebody to exhibit, prove, show, and substantiate that the Word of God is real in the earth today. And you are that person. So if you've been called by God, you better walk with Him. Let's As folks don't believe, God will cut you loose. Amen. Everybody stand. That's why the man of God said, "This is my gospel, and my gospel is for you. And if you don't learn to live by it, you're going to miss out on what God has for you." Let me read you this last scripture. You don't have to go through it. It's in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the 13th and 14th verse. It says, hold, your Bible probably says hold fast, but the word fast is not, it's omitted. So it says, hold the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. Why? Because it's my gospel. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And so I looked up the word form, and it means pattern. So what he's saying is, this gospel that Jesus implanted in me is a pattern for you to live by. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the what? The Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know how we pray and we ask Jesus to do, we're asking the wrong person. You need to start talking to the Holy Ghost. That's your power. That's your strength. That's your endurance. Amen. That's what keeps you. That's why he said this. He says, I'm telling you this. It's a pattern that you have to live by. Sound words. Words that are true. Words that are pure. And words that are encouraging. You live by it. Commit yourself to it through the Holy Ghost, which is dwelling in you. And then it says, so thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier, meaning that you have to be valuable. And we are all that to God. And we have to remember that we are that to ourselves. If you don't love yourself, you ain't gonna love nothing. I know, because there's been some times I did not love me. I was looking for an easy way out. But the way out I was looking for was going to send me right to hell. And I knew I didn't want to go there. But I know who God is now. And you have to study to show yourself approved. Prove who you are in God. Don't let nobody make you prove who you are. Already be that person. It's your reasonable service. It's something you're supposed to do anyway. Not all this craziness going on. And it's just out of control. The world is completely out of control. But believe this, God is still in it. Amen. You know that scripture said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He meant that. That's what that's his commandment to us. But you got to hold on. You got to keep pressing. And you got to keep believing God. Because God's got something for us very special. When Jesus comes back, he don't have to say nothing to me, just take me. He don't have to say no kind words, no encouraging words. Let's go, brother. Because he my brother. You know what I'm saying? The only way you're going to be able to do that is if you know that your heart is right with God. That's why you have to search yourself. Amen. Search the word. Because a lot of folks think because they read it, they got everlasting life. I know folks that quote scriptures like crazy. Just quote. And turn around and call you MF in a heartbeat. So now you got to try to figure out how to separate the two. Man, I be one of the best folks have it, Kim. You know, like, God didn't take it from me. He just gave me the will and desire to suppress it. Baby, I could be Popeye if I wanted to. When I got through, you feel about this big. You said, man, I don't know that brother gets through. Man, please. I have to suppress him. It's important that I suppress him. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, we glorify you right now. We thank you for allowing us to be here in the assembly in the correct way. Father, I thank you for these that are here. Father, I ask that you bless these fathers. Teach them. Give them knowledge and understanding beyond their own ears so that they can be the fathers that their children need them to be. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus of Nazareth, I thank you in advance for moving in a supernatural way and blessing these. And Father, we send your spirit out into the highways and the byways. And as you do what you do, we'll stand fast in your word. So Father, we thank you right now. Touch everything. Whether it be principalities or powers, you move by your spirit. And supply all the needs that we have need of, according to your riches and glory, through Christ Jesus. So we thank you today, and I ask that your manifold blessing be upon your people. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.